Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Be careful with me, Dad. I'm an old man today. You know, I turned 73 yesterday, so be real careful with me.
Yeah.
Middle bone, you know, and all
you
that.
Know, you know, you guys use that excuse all the time.
Well, got to do something. You get old as I am, you know, you find out you think you're working harder, but I think you're just moving slower is what it is.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. I feel like I'm working harder than I ever have, but I'm not gaining any ground.
Well, you tell me all about it so I can prepare when I get up there in those bigger numbers.
Yeah, you got 30 years to go, though, so you're okay.
I got 30 years to go, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
all right.
Fine. Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, let's take a peek at gold today in the markets. Gold, again, a little more pressure on it. Down 550 in the New York spot price aftermarket, 1789. Silver was down 38 cents at $24.03. Platinum was down 20 bucks at 983. Palladium was down 120 at 2,342. I just had somebody call me yesterday. They wanted to spend a boatload in palladium. It's like, why would you do that when it's high? You know, yes, it could go back up, but it has more downside potential than upside. Gold and silver have a whole lot of upside potential. USDX today was also up 0.17 at 92.69. Crude oil was up a buck at $69.35. Paper markets today, the Dow was down 68 points. The Dow and the S&P 500, they fall for the third straight day. The Dow 35,031, the S&P down 5 at 4,514. NASDAQ was down 87 at 15,286. Let's travel to Europe and let's see what they've done. They were all negative. They were bigger this time than they were the day before. The DAX was down about a 1.5%. FTSE and the CAC were down about 0.75%. Asia, they were all negative except the Nikkei. And the negatives were just, you know, barely a blip. 10-year yield, let's go to that. 1.338 down, 0.033. So, you know what we have? I don't know where this is going to go, you know, because we've been through this how many times? And everybody just points their finger and Yellen is urging Congress to raise the debt limit. Warns Pelosi about extraordinary measures are going to be running out pretty soon. And talks about the U.S. default can have drastic consequences. And Yellen had reiterated that the lawmakers have until some point in October before the department exhausts its extended efforts to prevent what would be a historic default. A delay that calls into question the federal government's ability to meet all of its obligations would likely cause some irreparable damage to the U.S. economy, she wrote. Again, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. And Pelosi replied that addressing the ceiling has to happen and called upon, of course, the Republicans to support an increase. So the warning came out today and you know, it's hard to believe that they're not going to do what needs to be done in order to, you know, so they don't have to default. And but the new debt limit includes Washington's additional borrowing since summer of 2019. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, estimated in July that the new cap will likely come in just north of $28.5 trillion. And, you know, blaming the Republicans. The Republicans are blaming the, you know, the Democrats. And, you know, and so goes the story. And Unless Congress addresses the ceiling, payments on Social Security, Medicare, military spending, interest on U.S. debt, and other obligations, simply halt. So, you know they're going to do what they need to do be done, because I don't think they'd want to face, or they're not ready to face, a nation when you stop. I didn't say anything about Medicaid. They say Social Security and Medicare, military spending. But they don't mention Medicaid, but I'm assuming that would stop too, Butch.
Well, what you're saying is if they don't do the debt ceiling, to raise the debt ceiling, Social Security will dry up. There'll be no money coming to the people.
Right. Everything stops. Everything's defaulted.
Everything dropped. But then the Fed already controlled the economy, basically.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the Fed, it just about controls everything in the economy. Why shouldn't it just print more money? I mean, why is it paying attention to debt ceiling? It never really has, and neither has Congress.
It's almost semantics anymore, you know. It's just dog and pony show. And
that's all it is. There's no reason fighting over this, because they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah. But eventually they will default, though.
Oh, they have to. They have no choice.
They have no choice.
But I just wonder, you know, the Fed's been playing this game for how many years now and controlling it. And the reason that they don't want to let interest rates go up is because if they do, and anything happens to change at all, it's going to drop like a house of cards. And they know that. They're doing their best to keep a lid on this. And, Melody, I don't know this. I'm not a financial expert by any means. But they're walking a tightrope. Either way, the least little wobble either way, they could lose it all, couldn't they?
They can. They could. They will. Eventually, they will.
You almost have to feel kind of sorry for them that they got themselves in this mess. But the problem
for them at all.
Well, the reason what I'm saying is the reason what makes it really bad is we're all in a mess with them.
Yeah, they knew exactly
what
they were doing, and they knew exactly what the taxpayer how they would respond and how the citizens of this country are going to respond. That's why they divided this nation so much. You know, and people are going to point fingers at each other instead of where the fingers need to be pointed at. And that's in D.C.
Of course. And when is the ceiling supposed to collapse, so to speak?
I think they have till the middle of October, I believe, is, you know, some of the... Actually, it's funny because you really don't see any specific date. They just say, some point in October. Is there some point? Some point in October.
Some point, okay.
Some point.
But you know,
we're not sure when we're going to run out, but just some point in October.
Every time you get a check from the Fed or a direct deposit from the Fed, you're getting credit. You're not getting money. You're not getting anything of value. It's credit. Now, we think it's good because we still use it to function with, but it's just credit. And I'm amazed how they keep doing that year after year, decade after decade. They manage to keep that ship afloat somewhat and manage to do it again the next year, even though they say, well, we got to control the debt. They used to say that anyway. Now they don't care. They just raise it and go on.
I agree. So
it's just a little bit on the scary side, because when this bubble does pop, and it's going to, it's going to be a huge pop.
It will. It absolutely will. And, you know, the Democrats supposedly will not raise the debt limit in the $3.5 trillion bill. The Democrats will not include a provision to raise the federal government's borrowing limit in the $3.5 trillion reconciliation spending measure that they hope to pass this autumn. Pelosi said the $28.5 trillion debt limit must be raised, but told a news conference she would not say whether this would be included in the must-pass bill to keep the government running, expected at the end of September. She says, I'm not here to talk about where the debt limit would be raised, but it won't be in reconciliation. Democrats are currently crafting the reconciliation package, a sweeping social spending bill, in hopes to pass it in the coming weeks. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell argued that the Republicans should not shoulder the burden of raising the debt limit. You know, and this was one thing where you would think that they could at least come together on, you know. But anyway. So well, it's just, you know, and the problem with the Democrats' $3.5 trillion bill is climate change. Expand social services. Here mm-hmm. they're ready to decrease and stop paying Medicare and Social Security, but they're ready to expand social services. With what? With what?
Just more debt.
$3.5 trillion bill to help address climate change? You know, little old Biden was out there viewing all the damage from Hurricane Ida. And the main conversation was all about climate change. Oh, it's got to stop. Oh, we got to work on climate change.
Well, you know, this isn't a for sure deal either. This $3.5 trillion plan, and I'll discuss in a minute that our state Senator Manchin, who's a Democrat, says he's probably not going to support it. So it's not a done deal. What if it doesn't pass? Then what? What's next?
Well, what they'll do is they'll reduce it to one trillion, so he will sign it, and then in 6 months, when everything begins to fall apart again, they'll do another one for another $1.5 trillion, and you know, by the end of next year, they'll be at $3.5 trillion, and so it's just going to be spread out. I mean, that's how they do it.
Well, you know, the article said moderate Democrat Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia has privately said he won't support more than $1.5 trillion of the Democrats' yeah. $3.5 trillion kind of blueprint, and he'll support as little as $1 trillion, like you just said. And, you know, with the 50-50 divided Senate, he could sway the vote, possibly, you know, against that. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's committed to paying for any new spending with new revenue. How and on who? Who is going to pay more than they already are? And really, unless most of the middle class, especially in the poor class, how can they afford to pay any more, Melody? I promise right now, people I know that are really having a hard time just keeping their utilities paid and food on the table. I know that because prices are going through the roof. So even Manchin here, he's going to pay for it with new revenue. From where?
From where?
I mean, there's a limit to what they can do with people's paychecks. And inflation is starting to hurt a lot of people. A lot of people. And they want to raise taxes on top of that? My gosh. I mean, you would think that even politicians would see that this is insane after a while. I'm convinced they're afraid, of course, for the job. They don't keep this facade going. They won't get voted back in, if voting even matters anymore. I don't know. But they're afraid of public outcry. So they're going to keep this facade going as long as they can to help people think everything is okay, but it's not going to be, and we'll discuss this in a minute, but Biden's going to announce a new shutdown tomorrow, by the way. We'll discuss that in just a few minutes. But so things are not okay, folks. Things are not okay, not okay, not okay. And we're just getting started into the not okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. Did you hear our governor a couple days ago say that 25% of all the deaths in our state now are from fully vaccinated people? And 26% of those in the hospital are from fully vaccinated people. He was kind of reiterating that point. I think he may have learned a lesson. Did you hear him say that?
I saw headlines on that, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said, let me restate that. 25% of the new cases are those who have been fully vaccinated. 26% of those in the hospital. New hospital arrivals are fully vaccinated, and 25% of the ones that are dying are fully vaccinated. So I think maybe our governor, maybe, has learned a lesson. I don't know. Maybe he's realized that this is not what they say it is. But nonetheless, we'll discuss in a little bit what Biden may have in store for us tomorrow and how it's going to affect it in the future. I don't think any nation, in America is no different, could handle another shutdown like the last one and maintain any kind of economic balance at all. I just don't see it. Do you?
No.
I don't see it. I know that it's going to cause a lot of problems in this country and with a lot of riots already we've seen it happen. But you go ahead and make a couple more statements, and I'll be quiet and let you finish up with that topic, because it is an important topic.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I don't know if you have this one on your books or not, but you're talking about financial surveillance, and this is if Biden gets his way, and Yellen, and key Capitol Hill allies such as Elizabeth Warren, they're pushing a vast, intrusive financial surveillance system in the name of closing the tax gap. For already compliant taxpayers, the only effort of this regime is to provide easy access to summary information on financial accounts and to decrease the likelihood of costly no-fault examinations. The Treasury Department said this May in a nakedly authoritarian document called the American Families Plan Tax Compliance Agenda. But for non-compliant taxpayers, the department continues, this regime would encourage voluntary compliance as evaders realize that the risk of evasion being detected has risen noticeably. That's why they're giving so much money to the IRS. I mean, you know, it's just really unbelievable, Butch.
Well, 87,000 new IRS agents, I think they could probably find a few.
Yeah, and I mean, how many billions of dollars are going there, too?
Yep.
The new domestic, the administration's proposed comprehensive financial account reporting regime, all business and personal accounts from financial institutions, including bank loan investments accounts, would be forced to report gross inflows and outflows to the IRS, and not just bank accounts. The dragnet would now include PayPal, settlement companies, and crypto asset exchanges for starters. You know, and I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's just, in July, representatives from 130 countries, included finance ministers from the G20, representing the world's richest democracies, agreed in principle to a worldwide minimum corporate tax. We talked about that here.
Yes, yes.
We now have a chance to build a global and domestic tax system. This is Yellen. The race to the bottom is one step closer to coming to an end. The agreement still has a significant obstacle to overcome, namely the legislatures of 130 countries, including Congress. Now, we know they're going to roll over. But Yellen has some cause to be cocky because of the third prong of Washington's strategy has already been constructed. Because we've seen in 2009, President Barack Obama promised to generate $210 billion in new tax revenue over 10 years by cracking down on overseas tax loopholes. We'll be right back. We're heading into a break. That went quick. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you. I just feel a day older, though.
Just a day?
Just a day older.
I'll just wait.
But thank you. That was so sweet, Todd. Thank you. Sometimes I think Todd actually likes us a little bit, but anyway. Mm.
Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. And yeah, you know, I don't hear a birthday song on my birthday, Butch.
Oh, I ain't going to get in on that one now. No, I ain't going there.
You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And 90% silver we have. Prices are moving up, though. Premium on that is moving up, where some of the premiums on, like, Silver Eagles are dropping a little bit. And it's mainly because they don't make the 90% anymore, and it becomes a limited supplies. A lot of it was melted down, and, you know, 90% is really important in your portfolio. It is something everyone should have, because it is a great spending utility. And everybody said, you know, when people call me and say, well, I want to buy some silver because for spending, 90% is part of what you should be purchasing along with your Silver Eagles, because you can still spend it. You don't want to. You don't want to go to the store and, you know, use it. But in an extreme emergency, you can. You can't take that Silver Eagle to the store and buy a loaf of bread. But you can take that 90% silver, take it to the store, and use it. So that is a key difference between the two at this point in time. So make sure you pick up some 90% silver as the premiums continue to rise on that. And it is now becoming a little bit to the short side. We're about a week out on full bags of 90% silver. Silver Eagles are fine. Gold Eagles are fine. Foreign gold is fine. Foreign gold is fine to buy. You don't only have to buy American coins. There's all kinds of things out there for fractional pieces. You can get fractional Philharmonics. You can get fractional, and these are more in volumes, but you can get fractional maple leaves also. Premiums are higher, but you can. They are available if you're looking for some fractional pieces. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You know, we're just talking about the changes in the taxes, and we can move on from that. But, you know, all of this stuff, you know, this article relates back to Barack Obama back in 2009, promising to generate $210 billion. And, you know, all kinds, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's all the same. These people are all the same. Biden said he promises to leave the world to deliver a foreign policy for the middle class and today. And we are doing just that. Biden said after a 130-country agreement, just as long as the middle class has nothing to hide. You know, it's just amazing, Butch. But anyway.
It is. It is. It is. And you can hear these people talk, and they never say anything, really. They just talk. And I wonder how long people are just going to sit back and scratch their heads and think, well, I wonder what he meant. You know, what are we talking about? Biden's the worst of all. I don't think he means to. I don't think he means to. I don't know that he knows any better. But all politicians are going to double speak.
Don't let his, you know, sometimes I even think his little bit of blank staring is an act.
You think so?
I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, what's next?
Yeah, I just read this job report.
I just want to do this real quick. Here's a headline. Johnson, Boris Johnson, you know, the guy head of the UK, He wins vote. He wins vote to push the UK taxes to highest ever.
Yep. I'll get ready to cover that after a while. You're right. Yep. Isn't that amazing?
And everybody's happy. Nobody's sitting, you know? Anyway.
You have to wonder, are people just numb to the whole thing anymore? Has it gotten to the point that they're thinking, what's the use? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We keep voting
in. They're all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You get something, you know, maybe one of the ploys also get to the people at the point they just don't care. They give up. Well, if that happens, of course, then it really is all over. So, but that could be part of the ploy because people get tired. We all get tired of the same insanity. You've been doing this a lot of years and I have too. And I've played the political game. Oh, we got to get this guy in, whatever. It's never changed. It has never changed. And Trump had 4 years, 2 years with complete control, so to speak, and did nothing. And now he's gone, and you wonder, you know, who's going to be next. But so we've been playing this game for so long. I no longer see that as a game that any sane person should play. But they will, because they'll keep pulling back right into it again. We've got to get the Republicans back in the House and the Senate. Got to get the conservatives in. No, this has been going on as long as I've been on the radio. Longer than that, obviously. But I've been into this since for the last 30 years, trying to help candidates win offices. And if they did get in, I didn't see a whole lot of change. That's what breaks my heart.
Yeah. And the sad thing is they can't change anything. Trump couldn't change anything in there any more than I could. Because that's the system. And that's the sad thing about it. They can't. They're personally, what I believe, they're given a certain amount of power. I mean, Kissinger was up there visiting Trump and how many days after he was in there? The first week?
Yep.
Giving him his plans of what he can and can't do for the next 4 years? I mean, nothing. Yep. So, yeah, they get a little bit of power to where, and it's all about the money. Oh, well, do this so, you know, you can keep everybody going along with it and we can continue to take their money and, you know, continue to get elected and we'll pretend that we're really helping them. It's just like, and I believe we have to have government. It's not that I'm anti-government. We have to have government. But this government that we have, It has an agenda that isn't going to change. No one can change it. We're on this path. And, you know, we don't give up. We kind of keep having to just, you know, I don't even know if spreading the word anymore helps.
Well, again, all we can do right now is what we're doing is... No, you can't quit. You keep on doing what you got to do.
Keep
best
on
you
doing
can.
What you got to do.
There are some things happening now that I think may help a little bit. I don't have time to share it now with you on the air, but the movement's going on that may make a little difference in some direction. We will see. But this next article I thought was something interesting, and it starts out with the word insanity. Duh. There are now a record 2.2 million more job openings than unemployed workers. There was an absolute shocker in today's JOLTS report. While consensus was expecting the BLS to report a print of 10 million in July job openings, nobody, not even the most optimistic whispers, was prepared for the shocking 10.934 million job openings that hit the tape at 10 a.m. Eastern Time sharp. This unprecedented number of job openings was made possible as more than 4.2 million openings were added in the past 7 months, with every single month of 2021 seeing an increase in job openings in the longest such stretch in history. Look at the details. The increase in job openings was driven by a number of industries, with the largest increase in health care and social assistance, finance and insurance, and accommodation and food services. The record number of job openings stands out in stark contrast against countless Americans who are still collecting various pandemic emergency unemployment claims, which in the latest week was just about 12 million. But the biggest shocker is that while we are expecting the BLS to report that there were some 1.7 more job openings than unemployed workers, a testament to just how broken, supply constrained, and overheating the U.S. job market is, the actual number meant that there was a record 2.232 million more job openings compared to the total of unemployed people such as of August. It was 8.384 million. So I thought the benefits ended. Most of them ended just about a few days ago, didn't they not?
A lot did, yes.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what's going to mean people going back to work or not. I don't know. But everywhere I go still, in our little area around here, help wanted signs are everywhere. Everywhere. And they don't care whether you've had any experience or not any longer. Some people are putting 14-year-olds to work. You know, it's legal if you do it within certain guidelines. But they're desperate for workers. So if unemployment's run out, I don't understand how people are still sitting back doing nothing. Am I missing something here?
You know, I heard a radio guy, this is a couple years ago, I don't even remember who it was, but his what he was talking about, I was traveling somewhere, he was talking about, he believes that 14-year-olds should be working. 13-year-olds should be working. It should be legal for them to work. It would give them a different idea of what money is and everything that goes along with a job well done. And perhaps it would keep them on the, you know, straight and narrow and give them something instead of parents just giving everything to their children today and they don't have to work for it, they don't have to work for it anymore.
That's true.
In many cases. So yeah, but you know, it is 10 million jobs. It's like, well, you know what? Well, we'll see what happens. And you just can't blame people being afraid to go to work. I can understand, you know, a family when you have children and you don't have a babysitter, but then how do you survive? You know, so it is a difficult situation to some degree, and then you do have the lazy people. So when they get more benefits, then they don't need to work. What a deal.
Well, I agree that I worked, at least in the summertime, as a 14-year-old. I made 50 cents an hour, which back then, with real silver 50-cent pieces, was worth some money, wasn't it? I made 50 cents an hour, and I was tickled to work. I enjoyed working. I did, because I earned something on my own. Maybe that's a lost desire today. I don't know. Maybe kids today would rather stay home, play video games, or get on four-wheelers. I have no idea.
But Butch, we didn't. I mean, my parents gave us what we needed.
Oh, sure.
We had nice school clothes. We had food on the table, you know, and so forth. Our wants. I mean, we did chores without having without having an allowance. We
of course.
Did them. We were
we
told
we never
to
had
do
an allowance.
Them,
so we never had an allowance ever.
We never had an allowance.
No, we took
so
care
I
of.
So I wanted to go to work because I did want to have my own money, and this country did improve. Parents were able to give their children more now, but it's. How old here on the Eastern Shore? You have the I don't know if it's county, state, or whatever, bring in internationals. That's what they call them, internationals, to work on the boardwalk and everything. Kids don't do it. That was my say. Well, why aren't the local teenagers doing it? Why do they have to bring people to work? Because they don't pay enough. And, you know, that's another situation. So the teens don't have to work because they get everything from their parents.
These
businesses get subsidies and everything else so they can bring in cheap labor. That's what it is, cheap labor. Anyway.
I agree. We were talking about Biden's going to make a speech tomorrow, and I think probably, I don't know what he has in mind either, but this is something that I don't think anybody's looking forward to. Biden will make major COVID speech Thursday, outlining six-pronged plan based on more vaccine mandates and school policies. President Joe Biden will make a major COVID address on Thursday. He will lay out a six-pronged strategy working across the public and private sectors to help continue to get the pandemic under control. Asked about possible new mandates, Paskey said the White House will offer more details later about the plan. The United States leads the world in COVID-19 cases and in death, and is struggling to get control of the highly contagious Delta variant. Reuters data shows that more than 20,000 people have died in the United States from COVID-19 the past 2 weeks. Now, I don't know, this didn't give any details really at all. But he said he's going to bring some more COVID mandates, COVID vaccine mandates. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that's going to work. I have no idea. I don't know what's going to mean that he's going to tell everybody they have to get vaccines in order to do anything in this country. I don't know. But at this point, I won't put a whole lot past him. I don't know what they have planned. I really don't, Melody. But I don't look forward to getting the outline of this speech. I probably won't get to hear it, but I'll get the outline, of course, of it pretty quick. So tomorrow will tell what we're in for in this country for the next several months. It really will. And I don't know what to say add to that other than that, because anytime these people speak, there's something going on we don't want to hear.
Right. I agree.
So if you have anything you want to add to that, please do, because I think it's very important that we cover this, because tomorrow can make it people all over again. Just when people are maybe getting somewhat back to normal, as far as some of them that were laid off or back to work now, getting back in the groove a little bit, getting regular paychecks. Gosh, I don't think we could stand another shutdown like that.
All I want to know is, are they going to address all the illegal aliens coming into this country that aren't tested, that are just sent out throughout this country, not even knowing what their health is for anything? We've seen rise of tuberculosis and everything else in the southern states, you know, and they sure do like to plant, you know, to blame the unvaccinated. But
yep.
Hey, if they're letting these people in this country, they shouldn't be admitted without a shot.
I agree. Not that that's going to help.
They need to start backing up what they want us to do to, how about the 120,000 Afghanistanis? They've never even been vetted. We don't even know who half of them are.
No, but
have they
Biden
got
wants
their
to,
shots and
Biden
they're being
wants,
spread out throughout this nation?
No, and Biden wants almost $10 billion to pay for their homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Guess who's going to pay for it again? You
we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do we have next, Butch?
Okay. Now, do you remember a while back when Senator Rand Paul came down pretty hard on Fauci in the interview in front of the Senate?
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, Fauci called Paul a liar because he said that Fauci and his group had funded the coronavirus experiment in China. Well, come to find out, he did do that. And it's interesting. New details emerged about coronavirus research at Chinese lab. Newly released documents provide detailed U.S.-funded research on several types of coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. The Intercept has obtained more than 900 pages of documents detailing the work of EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based health organization that used federal money to fund bat coronavirus research at the Chinese laboratory. The trove of documents includes two previously unpublished grant proposals that were funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as well as project updates relating to EcoHealth Alliance research, which has been scrutinized amid increased interest in origins of the pandemic. The documents were released in connection with an ongoing Freedom of Information Act litigation by the Intercept against the National Institutes of Health. The Intercept is making the full documents available to the public. This is a roadmap to the high-risk research that could have led to the current pandemic, said Gary Ruskin, executive director of the U.S. Right to Know group that has been investigating the origin of COVID-19. Now, why is that important? Well, COVID-19, folks, has affected us financially, not to mention health-wise, for a while. But it has destroyed businesses, it has destroyed homes, it has destroyed marriages. This is serious. And now we've found out, and this is out some time back, I didn't have the proof of, but the proof is now here, that we, the United States, funded this research, and Fauci was in on it also. This should make you back up again. If you're hearing this tonight, and you hear Biden speak tomorrow and say, well, we got to do this and got to do that, they're the ones that brought it out in the first place. Why should we trust them for good morning? Why do we trust them for anything after all the lies they've been caught up in over so many years? And police and firefighters sue Oregon governor over COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Folks, this is getting serious. I'm not making all this up. This is for real news. People are getting fed up with this. We have cops quitting jobs in Vermont and San Francisco and other places because they won't be vaccinated. And we now have hospitals in Idaho are running out of workers, so they're rationing health care. Melly, this is serious, is it not?
It truly is. It truly is. And we'll see if anything is done about it. You know, but you know what? Yes, Rand Paul is one voice. You don't hear anything else coming from anybody else.
No, you don't.
They're all quiet. And the thing of it is, I get he was appointed or in that position and so forth. But what I never understood is why was he picked to be in all of the news reports and press conferences from day one? So they know what he was doing. They know what he was paying. They know where it was going. And they chose him to lead. And it's, you know,
well,
I don't
know. Coming back to Biden, we have two high officials in the FDA who resigned because they're afraid they're going to be put in prison for their part of this later on, because this is starting to come out. what's going to happen, I really don't know. I don't look for the other side, just sit down and quit. I really don't see that. But, you know, when police officers and firefighters are suing Governor Kate Brown over Oregon vaccine mandate for state workers, I mean, this is serious. We're going to be running out of people. Cops are quitting. As high as a quarter of some, 25% of some city's officers are quitting because they wouldn't do the vaccine. Now, that's a cut. That is a huge cut. So I really don't know. But a federal judge said that Brown's executive order was unenforceable. So I don't know what's going to happen with this. I don't know. But again, if we start running out of everything right up to the point of nursing staff, and we are, Idaho public health leaders announced Tuesday that they activated crisis standards of care. Crisis standards of care, allowing healthcare rationing for the state's northern hospitals because there are more coronavirus patients than the institution can handle. The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare quietly enacted the move Monday and publicly announced his statement Tuesday morning. So warning the residents that they may not get the care they would normally expect if they get to the hospital. And of course, staff shortages add to that, a severe shortage of staffing and available beds in the northern area of the state caused by a massive increase in patients who require hospitalization. A severe shortage of staffing, what's severe? 25%? 30%? 50%? What's severe? When they can't handle the patient load for whatever reason, and they have to ration health care, maybe does that remind you of a third world country that's got socialized medicine?
Certainly does.
I wonder if that would fit us today. I mean, think about that. And the UK is going to raise taxes on people to pay for COVID. Of course, there's totally socialized medicine. We are too, folks. We're basically socialized, or if you want to put it the better way, communistic all the way through anymore. We truly are. We truly are. Like a lump, it doesn't change it. It's just the truth. But the UK wants to raise taxes on people to pay for it. And the people are already struggling and are already getting kind of ticked off with what's happening. Now, the truth is out that this COVID virus was we paid to have it developed in China, Wuhan, with some kind of bat test. Why would people not be angry? Maybe it's what you want. I don't know. But I don't particularly want to think to go somewhere to a hospital and find out, well, we have too many people here. We don't have enough people in the payroll here to keep it going. The Johnson government will raise payroll taxes to help support a state-funded healthcare system that's struggling to manage the aftermath of the pandemic. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson Tuesday announced tax increases to support the country's state-funded National Health Service as it struggles to manage a backlog of millions of patients in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. With the announcement, Mr. Johnson is renouncing an election pledge. Imagine that. He promised and broke a promise not to raise payroll taxes. Wow, a politician did that. A move that sparked criticism from within his own conservative party and underscored the pressure the pandemic has put on governments to find funding for the things they need. He broke a promise, Melody. That's a shocker. A politician broke a promise.
Jeez, imagine that.
That's never happened here in our country, has it?
No, not at all.
Never has happened here. It never has happened here. I remember when Bush Sr. got in, he said, nope, there were no tax increases. And he did. I remember Reagan promised the same thing. He raised tax higher anybody in history had done. I wonder, is this a pattern? Could politicians be liars? Maybe not even want to be habitual, but they are because they want to keep the jobs. I mean, they got to fund this somehow. So they turn to the people and take more from the people who are struggling already to pay their bills. That's just typically what a parasite does to a healthy body. Any comments on that?
Nope. You said it all.
We're getting to the point now, Mel. This actually happened in the Canadian election. Trudeau pelted with stones as protests continue along the campaign trail. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was targeted by protesters throwing what appears to be handfuls of gravel, small stones, during the latest demonstration the Liberal Party leader has faced on his campaign trail. Mr. Trudeau was attending a campaign event in London, Ontario, on Monday, when he and his entourage were confronted by yet another protest that saw some in the crowd throw rocks or gravel at him as he attempted to get on his campaign bus. According to a report from Canadian public broadcasters, CBC, which identified the projectiles as gravel, Mr. Trudeau spoke about the incident a short time later, saying that he had not been injured. The incident is the first time since the start of the Canadian election campaign that protesters attempted to physically assault the Liberal leader. But Trudeau had been followed by protests across the country during the campaign, some of which have led to the cancellation of the election events over alleged safety concerns. Would you say the natives are getting restless, Melody?
Kind of sounds that way, doesn't it?
It does. It truly does. You see, it's not just here in this country. This is worldwide, folks. Worldwide. They start throwing gravel now think about this. What if somebody threw gravel at Biden? Think about it. Well, how would people respond to that? I mean, not necessarily the people, but how would law enforcement respond to that? How would that work out? When people get so angry that they're willing to throw rocks at a politician, maybe they'll pay attention. Back during the revolution, they hung leaders in eulogy and give them a warning, you know, stop or we're going to do this to you physically. So say what you want. This is causing problems. Tomorrow when Biden makes his little speech on the 6-prong approach to control this, who knows what could happen? And we all know that Gavin Newsom is in a recall type situation. And they said what may save him is the money he's given to the people in the state. That may save him. That may be enough to keep him in office. As other words, he bribed him with the handout. And folks, I'd say that people's votes are for sale. They have been in this country for generations.
Sure.
The one who promises the most is who gets the votes. Is that a fair statement, Melody?
I think it does.
I mean, how else can you say it? And American Airlines pilots are citing fatigue and are planning protests in Dallas. And I think New York, some other place, American Airlines pilots are overworked, they said. they said the company's unorganized. They're frustrated. They said they get to some places, they don't get their days off. They're not given a hotel while they're working or sent to hotels without securing valid reservations. And not received enough time to eat during the shifts. They're tired. But in Miami, Dallas, otherwhere, they're going to have protests. Unrest, folks, is worldwide. Worldwide. And China is weighing the occupation of former U.S. airbase at Bagram. Now, this was a big airbase, folks. This was one of our main hubs in Afghanistan. China is building on friendly relations. It has secured with the new Taliban government in Afghanistan. China is now considering new ways to expand influence and embarrass the U.S. Oh, I think we're beyond embarrassing. China is considering deploying military personnel and economic development officials to Bagram Airfield, perhaps the single most prominent symbol of the 20-year U.S. military presence in Afghanistan. Chinese military is currently conducting a feasibility study about the effect of sending workers, soldiers, and other staff related to its foreign economic investment program known as the Belt and Road Initiative in the coming years to Bagram, according to the source briefed on the study by Chinese military officials. So, okay, what can you say? We walked out there stepping in. There's no such thing as a void, folks. No such thing as a void. Somebody or something will feel it. China is feeling this in Afghanistan. Feeling it in Afghanistan. Any comments on Melody?
No, I mean, they're taking advantage of, you know, our port. Yeah, nobody wanted to be there. We should have been there in the first place, you know. We get that. But, you know, and it just such poor, poor governing, I mean, and decisions, and it truly is amazing. And yeah, China, yeah, they're going to take advantage of it. You betcha.
We'd do the same thing. We would do the same thing. Only is we probably do it in secret. We want everybody to know about it. That's America today. And I do want to cover one more story here, and I know this is, again, a little bit off economics, but this is kind of on the weird side. Mercedes, new car, reads driver's mind in Milestone Emerging Man and Machine. Did you see that?
I just saw the headline.
The all-electric Mercedes Vision 8 VTR features an array of incredible features pointing the way to the sci-fi future mind-reading cars that can drive the Fords backwards or sideways. Elon Musk has pioneered self-driving cars driven by artificial intelligence, as well as a computer interface controlled by human brain. But Mercedes has gone one better, combined both of those ideas into a revolutionary new concept car. The Mercedes Vision AVTR is a demonstration platform of some wildly futuristic ideas that you might see cropping up in the German car manufacturer's next-gen salons in a few years' time. Instead of getting distracted by dashboard controls, Mercedes designers can envision a future where drivers can adjust the radio, air conditioner, and maybe even one day the satellite navigation by just thinking about them. To control the car's advanced features, the drivers have to wear a spatial electrode headset. To pull off this high-tech magic, the driver needs to wear a helmet with electrodes that detect brain activity and translate it into impulses that relate to different aspects of the car's control system. You train the brain-computer interface by thinking about the various components of the car while a computer projects lights into the dashboard. As you think about each one in turn, the computer tracks how your brain is working at the exact moment and maps it into that system. Mercedes spokesman Britta Seeger says the company is setting another milestone in emerging a man and machine. Woo! There you go.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
What a scary thought.
What women think.
Yeah, we're out of time, Butch.
Okay.
It's been fun.
Alrighty.
It's been great. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.